Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 339 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, episode 1, Operation Lightspeed.
It aired on February 12th, 2000, 2 days after this MF turned 14.
Ooh, you're so old.
It's written by Judd Lynn and directed by Ryuta Tasaki. I bet you guys didn't know that half of this podcast was an actual grandpa, but here I am.
Yeah, that emoji in your name on Twitter isn't a joke.
No, it's not. It's actually
that's a self-portrait.
It's a portrait.
hey, everybody, back at it again. Back in the Krispy Kreme. Have you seen that Vine, I assume?
No, I thought you were making a Power Rangers movie joke.
No, hey, do you guys remember how Power Rangers the movie made Krispy Kreme donuts the most important place on the planet Earth? That's the climax of that movie, was them trying to save a Krispy Kreme donuts?
Krispy Kreme donuts. Rita Repulsa approved.
Like, they're just wet donuts.
Yeah, she loved them. She was in there eating them. She was like, if I remember correctly.
I think you're correct. Anyway, if you're new here, hey everybody, welcome to the podcast.
Krispy Kreme non-spawn, hashtag non-spawn.
Krispy Kreme does not give us any money because I don't like their donuts, so they will not pay me. That'd be a weird sponsorship.
They
huh?
have a chocolate-covered donut, but underneath the chocolate covering
it's just more wet donut.
It's a wet donut.
It's just so wet. The problem is the donuts are so wet, and if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we talk about Power Rangers, and then we watch Power Rangers, then we come back and we talk about it in that order, usually. Now, we're starting Lightspeed Rescue today, which I have seen a little of here and there. Not enough to, you know, remember anything.
Yeah, I saw one episode for a Morphin Omentary that I don't remember
at all.
For all intents and purposes of this podcast, I've never seen Lightspeed Rescue
super
before.
Super fresh. Also, we are like 100% out of the Zordon era now. Like, that's gone. We are in the Spawn era? The post-Zordon?
Where it goes to Disney after this?
Halfway through Wild Force, they go to Disney.
Halfway through Wild Force.
I don't know if Wild Force is all done on whatever channel it was on, probably Fox Kids, but I know that at some point during Wild Force, they made the decision to, like, Disney bought them at some point during Wild Force, which is why Forever Red sets up a lot that doesn't happen the next season, because Disney said, no, we hate that.
Thanks, Disney.
Hey, way to go.
You know that thing from Batman The Dark Knight?
Which thing? I said yes, but I don't know what you're talking about yet.
When I think it's Two-Face says, you either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain.
Yeah, I'm confident that was from somewhere before Batman The Dark Knight, but,
well, yeah, but that's where I know it.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I'm a grandpa in age only. I think Disney is treading that water.
Oh my god, have you seen the epic rap battle of history, Jim Henson versus Stan Lee?
No.
Okay, I'm about to spoil a YouTube video for everyone.
What a time to be alive.
Right? I can't believe I'm saying that sentence out loud. So at the end of that video, because it's a rap battle, so they're fighting about, like, who's better, right? And at the end, they're like, hey, we're both great. Like, you know, we respect each other. And then Disney comes in because, like, I own you. I literally own you. And it is like Dictator Walt Disney. And it's, first of all, the dopest verse in all of epic rap battles of history. But it's not, like, wrong in any way. Like, it's, like, 100% real. And, like, it ends on, like, you will, like, you'll make money forever in my empire of joy. And then it just, like, starts panning out with people, like, painting things like all the networks that they own, basically, and it, like, going out forever, like, they just have, like, an infinite assembly line. Also, Disney owns, like, a third of entertainment now, which is just super frightening. Anyway, what a cool, chill way to start this podcast.
We've dragged a lot of people here today, and
we
have not even gotten started.
Let's see, people who will never sponsor us: Krispy Kreme, Disney, probably Tide Pods.
We've tried our
hardest, and if they haven't by now, it's just not going to happen.
It's a damn shame.
Yeah.
I love Tide Pods.
I do love a Tide Pod.
They're so convenient.
I don't want to turn this into Tide Pods cast without being paid for it, hashtag non-spawn, but they did change it so they're not blue and orange anymore. And they're not as exciting. I get like no one's gonna like you could still confuse a blue and green one for candy. Like that's not
right.
So different. Anyway, you wanna go watch a Power Ranger?
I guess we should. We've been vamping about so much stuff for the last 2 months that we just can't.
Yeah,
we can't get this ball rolling.
I'm gonna pull back the curtain a little bit. I forgot how to start the podcast, so there's that. Anyway, we also don't know the morph call, so we're just gonna go with an old classic. It's morphin' time.
Back and we just watched Operation Lightspeed.
I thought you were gonna say Operation Overdrive for a second.
No, thankfully we still have quite a bit of time before we get there.
Yeah. The suits are cool. Anyway, so if you're new, I know I did the if you're new here joke earlier. This is a real if you're new. We do Monday and Friday, so on Mondays we do all like our housekeeping, like emails. New patrons today, because the start of the new thing, we're doing all the patrons. But first, I got some stuff I gotta tell you. This is the spiel. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com isn't updated like I said it would be. Is our website. I got a lot of pictures. Haven't turned it into posts yet. Oops. So is heyjakeandjosh.com/MorphinGrid. That's where our archive is. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. At Morphin Grid, we're on iTunes, Stitch, you know, it's a new season. We got to call it by its real name. We can't call it iTunes anymore.
But, I mean, it is, it's we just, still Josh, in iTunes.
Josh, we just got to call it by its real name, okay?
They just changed it because it's a separate app on a phone.
I know, it's so stupid.
Computers are obsolete.
Okay, so we're just going to... I just bought a new one. They can't be obsolete.
No, you just need a phone now. That's
I have a phone. I can't edit on a phone. Yeah. Anyway, so
there's
I'm going to get
GarageBand for phones.
That sounds nightmarish. I'm just going to say it normal, and I'm going to get used to it. We're on Snapple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife. We're on Podbay. We're on so many other of your favorite websites.
Somebody somebody snatch up SnapplePodcast.com Snapple quick.
Oh, God. Before this episode goes live, I will own Snapple Podcasts. If you want to leave us a rating and review in any of those places, that would be great. It would help us out a bunch. It helps people find this show. I'm so stupid. What else? We're on Patreon. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh for as little as a dollar a month to get some cool stuff in return, including Tattoo Change Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills, which we have... I didn't put the milestone up because I didn't think we would get there so soon. But we broke what would have been the milestone for the next set, and the last three episodes have not come out yet because... I got a lot busier than I expected to over the break. So, right now, we have a list of all them pates. All of you very attractive people who look great in that shirt. And we are gonna talk about...
Oh, that is a lot of pates.
That's a lot. It's 100. 100 of you people...
many.
...decided that this is a good thing that you should do with your money. So thank you very much. Thank you, Shannon Maynor.
Thank you, Shannon. Are we both saying thank you?
No, yeah. I mean, we can just kind of however it feels.
All right. I'm just going to keep saying thank you the way I always did.
Okay.
You do you.
Let's just rotate. Let's go back and forth.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Michelle.
Jack, thank you.
Thank you, Pokefiction.
Thank you, Matt Hoadley, buddy.
Or is that Pokefiction? Pokefiction.
It depends on how fancy you are.
It's Poke if you're nasty. thank you, Anne.
Sorry you had to come after that, Anne. David, thank you.
Thank you, Messer Engine.
Thank you, Eli.
Thank you, Ashton.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, no problem, man.
No, not you.
No, I know.
A better Josh.
That's fair. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Sky.
Sorry, MySpace didn't work out. Thank you, Joe.
Annie and Jonathan, thank you. I just started editing Annie's new podcast called Gem Jammers, and it's an actual play D&D podcast, and it's very fun.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Adriana.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Portia.
Thank you, Hoops.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Janine.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Scoot, my little brother, my best dude.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Dowd.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you, Alan. Alan Sells, our very, very good friend. If you'll notice, I'm saying the last names of people I know, as is tradition. If everyone's cool with it, we can do full names next time, but I have to get confirmation from at least 6 people. So just like email us or something.
6% confirmation.
Yeah, we need at least 6% of you. Oh God. Wow.
Did that just kind of put it in perspective for you?
You're great. You're all great.
Thank you very much, Warren.
Thank you, Riley.
And Tanner, thank you.
Benzina, what a good name. That's thank you very much.
Thank you, Soul Blaze.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Bishop, back from the future to kill the X-Men.
And thank you, Christina.
That's Christina Wood. She's our friend. I was on her podcast, Wayward OC, the home for Wayward OCs, which you should check out. It's a very fun show. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to make any jokes here because you are the very serious Lewis.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Mal.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, RK. Okay, that's funny.
Does Robert Keel listen to our podcast?
I don't think so, judging by the email, but boy, would that be weird.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you, Admiral Potato.
Oh, nice. A high-ranking military officer.
Thank you. You really made it.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you, Alvina.
Thank you, Sizzle.
These names are all really great.
Sizzle?
You guys are all doing a great job.
Everyone's doing a real great job out here.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Guillaume.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you, Charged Archetype.
Thank you, Brogan. And again, I want to say your last name because your whole name is very good, but thank you, Brogan.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Bibbs.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Alex.
Got to switch it up now because we said thank you person so many times. A different Alex. Thank you.
And also, Elliot. Thank you.
Crash, thank you very much.
Lewis, we would also like to thank you.
Now we're getting two in our heads about it.
There's too many.
Adam, thank you.
And thank you, Andrew.
And our friend Ross Butler, thank you so much.
And Anthony, we thank you.
And Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Charles.
Another Ryan, thank you.
And thank you, Steph.
And another David, thank you. We've got a lot of Davids per square inch on this Patreon. Our number one market seems to be right now is Davids.
So if any Davids that you know are not listening to the show,
they might enjoy us.
Tell your favorite David about us.
Yeah.
thank you, Raymond.
Before we get to the show, thank you, Raymond. Thank you, Carson.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Roderick.
And Mallory, thank you.
Panda, thank you.
Thank you, Cam.
Thank you, Kyle. Maybe we have more Kyles than Davids.
Well, I don't know, because now we have another Daniel to thank.
Thank you, Jonathan.
I think we got the corner locked on Jonathan's as well.
Well, I mean, parts per million. There's a lot of Jonathan's.
thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Sam.
Nicole, thank you.
Thank you, Redemption.
Thank you, Alberto, Mexico's number one export. Every time. I'm going to say that every time until he tells me to stop.
Please tell him to stop. and Benny, thank you.
Our very favorite existential crisis machine, Benny. Thank you, Midori.
Thank you, Raiden.
Thank you, Zachary.
Thank you, Amel Demon.
And Dominic.
And did you finish?
I didn't finish. That was on me, though. That's not on you. That's mostly on me. Thank you, Dominic. We're keeping it in.
Okay, and last but certainly not least, thank you, Griffin.
You are all the very best, like no one ever was. That's our other podcast, so I shouldn't have said it on this one. You're all more phenomenal.
Morphitudinous. Every last one of you.
I feel like that was about 15 minutes.
That was a long time.
We don't actually have any like new emails or anything, so that's good. So you want to just jump right in?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So actually, Josh, before we jump right in.
So we're not going to jump right in.
No, let's get our toes wet real quick. Let's just dip them.
Test the water.
Let's dip these toesies in. Let's get these tootsies a little damp.
Oh, that's chilly.
How'd you feel about the episode?
I liked it.
I thought it was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So maybe there's time for it to get boring, but right away, it was pretty fun. There was one thing that I didn't love in this episode, and it's kind of where we start. So,
yeah, okay. So you also had same feeling that I did. Good, 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 good.
So we start off in the desert, and there is a bunch of sets of footprints. So, not just Jesus carrying anyone.
It's a well-traveled desert.
Yeah, there's at least three sets because there are three men walking through the desert. They're in, I'm gonna say, big question mark, Egypt.
That's what it seems like. That's what it seems like they're going for.
It seems like they're going for Egypt, but the music they are playing is distinctly like, and I'm using big air quotes because I don't know if this is the proper term or not, Arabian. Like, that's the feeling they're going for, but then there's like, here's a pillar with hieroglyphics, and you're going to go into a mummy's tomb in a second.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if this is the same sounding as how Egypt should sound on TV, but it didn't read that way to me.
Yeah.
It's also very weird that they are, again, not in Mariner Bay. Keep this in mind because it will come up later.
Or are they?
Does Mariner Bay have an adjacent desert with Egyptian ruins?
I mean, I'm pretty sure, as Angel Grove before it, it's going to have whatever it needs around or within it.
That is probably true. so they rest because they found the, like, ruins that they're looking for, and one of them, like, rests on against a pillar and pulls out his water skin, and then, that's not a euphemism, and they, like, the pillar starts moving, and he falls down a hole.
I thought he was dead. I thought they killed that man.
Oh, in real life? He'd be dead.
Yeah, because he fell backwards down the hole. Like, yeah. He leaned on the pillar and flipped down the hole.
And let me be perfectly clear. None of these are svelte men. These are older men.
I can't tell. They are too clumsy to be archaeologists.
They were called nomads later. I don't know if they were looking for this or if they just found it because they were wandering across the desert. I don't know.
They kind of, when they get into the tomb, when they're all in there, they kind of play as thieves.
Yeah, that's how it reads. And it's real weird because they're all in, like, what you would see is someone traveling across the desert. They have, like, a head wrap and, like, you know, that goes across their face to keep the sand out of their mouths or whatever. And, like,
super strange about that.
They're all super white.
There's three of them.
That's my problem with this.
They're all white dudes. But the one, they have, like, color-coded wraps, obvious, but you can tell by looking at them, they are not the Power Rangers.
No, thank goodness.
But there's, like, a red, green, and yellow wrap, and the guy with the yellow wrap has his whole face wrapped up. Like, he's gonna be, I kept waiting for that to come off, and it be, like, a reveal, and it never happens. That's just the way that guy is.
Maybe it will be later? I doubt it. It was probably like, hey, we need a third person. Chris, you're in.
Also, The clumsy, heavy air quotes, idiotic antics of these three guys makes me believe there's an early draft of this episode where this is Bulk, Skull, and Phenomenus.
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because they are straight up doing it. In my notes, it just says they do some slapstick and find a mummy's tomb.
Yeah.
Because they're like falling down a rope and they're like, oh, help me up. Oh, and they're like tripping over each other. And it's just like really just like goofy of them like robbing a tomb.
Yeah.
But my big problem is that they are definitely doing like Arabic or Arabian. I don't know what the word is, and I'm very sorry. Someone correct me. Like accents. But again, at least two of the three of them are super duper white dudes.
Yeah.
One guy, he was always kind of in shadows, so I didn't get a good look. That's the one that like fell down first. They didn't like hang on him for me long enough to like discern anything. But like, it just seems like you couldn't find, if you're doing this,
right,
you couldn't find three Middle Eastern guys in Los Angeles.
As far as I can tell, like, it's just this one-off appearance so they can push the story.
Yeah, literally.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I can't defend it.
Yeah, no, no one should. So they're like looking around, and then like there's some snakes on the walls, like cobra heads, and they start like leaking gas. And these guys are like, the gas. And then they just ignore it and are like, just real quick though, let's open the sarcophagus right here.
Yeah,
though.
Well, they walk over to the sarcophagus, and there's this like giant web covered skeleton standing over it. And the red one just shoves it over. Like,
this is not important.
Like, in an aggressive, I'm here for treasure, not skeletons kind of way.
Is that Skeleton the Wizard?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's in the same position that they show the wizard
in later. Spoilers, there's a wizard.
And so as soon as the skeleton hits the ground and its head pops off the sarcophagus, there's like a lock on it that twists and the whole thing slides open.
Yeah, and they like push it all the way off, and then that lets a bunch of demons out. And the demon...
Just saying all of this out loud, this is bananas.
For Power Rangers?
There's a wizard who's...
dead.
Post-mortem duty is to keep this sarcophagus full of flying demon heads locked.
They're, like, a lot of the demons are just, like, sheets of paper, like, digital sheets of paper floating around. They're just, like, these, like, squares that are, like, flying through the wind, and they all, like, fly away, and then we cut to the theme song, which is pretty okay.
It's pretty good.
I like it better than Lost Galaxy, for
sure. I do, too. It also kind of just... peters out toward the end. Like, it starts off a lot stronger than it finishes.
Yeah, it like, at least the lyrics are, like, a little more punchy for me, so I like that. So then, we cut back from the theme song, and the demons go straight to the city, straight to Mariner Bay. We'll find out it's Mariner Bay. But just, like, straight up, like, hey, we were in Egypt, now we're going to fly across at least one ocean to get to Mariner Bay, because that's where all the cool stuff is happening. And to their credit, we will get a reason for this.
We do. Yeah, but they lay it out, which is at least they gave us a reason why Mariner Bay.
Yeah.
Which is more than
we got for 40 plus episodes of Terror Venture.
Yeah.
So then they just blow some papers around in like an alley and like someone screams. I didn't really see what was happening.
They just like fly down Main Street and some people fall down.
It's like, you're not seeing the Ghostbusters when all the ghosts come out. It's like a very bad version of that.
Yeah, imagine that, but like even cheaper.
Yeah, with like $9, maybe $10 instead of a budget. So then we cut to a room. It looks like a meeting office on a ship. I don't think it is. I don't know if it is. But that's what it felt like to me.
I think it's on the submarine. I think they're just on the submarine.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So a woman comes in and she's like, she goes up to this guy who is the captain, and she's like, sir. Maybe she says captain.
Also, this caught me very off guard, because first of all, in the credits, we need to talk about, because the ghost being released was the pre-credits.
Yeah.
Then we get the opening credits, and they show the Blue Ranger first.
Yeah, they show the Blue Ranger first, and then the Red Ranger.
And it was very confusing, because they all get these red and black jackets, and so I thought, I'm like, why is there two Red Rangers? I thought that happened later.
Yep. But wrong, though. That's not it.
And there's also Colonel Mustache.
Colonel Mustache is great.
And there's another lady.
Captain Mustache.
There's another lady in the credits that I don't think we met this episode.
No, she's some sort of doctor.
Yeah.
Some sort of scientist. I don't remember her name.
But this girl that walks into the room to talk to Captain Mustache about the evil that has just been released. It caught me very off guard because she has a slit in her skirt that goes way higher than I was anticipating.
Yes, it is an action business skirt. For Power Rangers, it's very risque. So she comes up and she's like, Captain, they've escaped.
Do we learn his like real name?
We get his real name later.
Okay.
I don't think we ever hear her first name. We might from him at the very end.
They showed it in the credits.
But she's like, father. Yeah, it's we know it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's like, father. So like, this is his daughter. So good. We're establishing relationships early. Good to know. And she says, they've escaped. And he's like, it's time to bring them in. And he walks over to something that we paused and rewound about 6 times.
This is so... I love this so much.
So he walks over to a safe, and he opens it up, and he pulls out 5, like fabric government dossiers.
Yeah, they're like government profiles.
Yeah. And he opens up the first one, and it just says, across the top, Sky Cowboy Joel Rawlings. Rawlings?
I think it's Rawlings.
Rawlings.
Like
a baseball.
Yeah.
This is his government file.
Well, here's the thing, because we will see him in a Sky Rodeo in just a minute.
Yeah.
And he is signing that picture, like that exact same picture. So I think they got one and
that's
put it
much
in
better
his file. They got like actual photos of everybody else.
Yeah.
But they got this guy's like autograph, buy this for $10 and I'll sign it for you headshot.
Well, I mean, like, that one, that was probably the easiest one to get. They just had to, like, get it. Yeah. You know? They had to, like, take a picture of him. But also, I thought this was just, like, his government file.
That's what I thought, too. It's, we see some of the other ones later, and they don't have the Microsoft Paint clip art names.
Yeah, I was like, this government-sanctioned clip art is very strange. The year 2000 was buck wild.
Yeah.
So, then we cut from there, from Sky Cowboy Joel Rawlings, to Sky Cowboy Joel Rawlings doing what he does best, which is Sky Cowboy stunts.
Yeah, it's a sky rodeo.
He's in a plane doing a sky rodeo. He has no mask, like, you know, like air mask.
Yeah,
that, no. None of that. I don't know if it's the size of his plane. You don't need it. I'm not sure.
Maybe he's not high enough.
Maybe he has no seat belt.
But he's also doing, like, flips, loop
de loops,
loop de loops.
And he has nothing, no protective gear on. He does have his cowboy hat.
He has his cowboy hat, which does not fall off when he goes upside down. And his cowboy vest and a very deep green t-shirt.
It's like a very olive green.
To the point where I thought maybe that was a red vest for a second. And I was like, which ranger is this?
Nope, that was a brown vest. It just popped against the green. So then we cut from there to his autograph signing. He's like, hey, and like winks at someone. And he's like, who's next? And then Captain Mustache and another big man come up and are like, come with us.
We're going to need you to come with us, please.
And I don't know if they said it or if you said it, but in my notes it just says he has been acquired.
I think that might have been... I did not say that.
Okay,
it must have
so
been
then
them.
They must have said it.
Yes, the space cowboy has been collected,
or esquired, as my dumb thumbs thought I should say. So we cut to about 15 minutes of quiet rock climbing. There's just a woman just quietly rock climbing for 15 solid minutes before she gets to the top, and she's doing like freestyle climbing. Like, she's putting the pitons in and clipping them in and doing a rope through the carabiner.
She has a harness. Yeah. And I don't know. I know 0% of rock climbing.
I know a fair amount, so I might be able to.
But it only goes down? The rope attaching is going down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because there's nothing above her. She's climbing upwards.
Oh, that's true. If it loops through the hole below her and she falls, it will catch that.
Yeah, it still sucks wicked bad. It's probably the scariest thing that can ever happen to you in your life. But, like... If you are lead climbing, like, which is what this is, like, you put the things up that everyone follows. So everybody else behind you
is fine, but she's alone.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that's why she's the best. That's why she's gonna be Power Ranger. She's climbing up this very scary, like, sheer cliff face. And did she, like, almost fall off at one point? I don't remember.
I don't think so. I think she just, like, and it's. It goes from just straight up vertical to like a negative degree.
Yeah,
angle. Like it starts coming out.
It's leaning back. And she gets up to the top and like puts her arms up and she's about to like pull herself up, which is probably like the scariest moment of the entire climb, right? Like,
yeah.
Because you're at the end, but like now you got to do it.
Yeah. You're looking at the finish line, but you still have to cross it without tripping.
Yeah. And there's no more handholds, like, because it's just flat ground from there. And then two men are like, Kelsey Winslow, come with us. And she's just hanging on by her armpits?
So you couldn't wait until I'm all the way up?
Like, you had to stop me here? Thanks, guys.
I guess I'll say yes, or you're going to push me down this mountain.
Right? And you'll fall 20 feet, depending on how far her last, you know, stake was, she'll do a big arc, slam into it'd be very bad.
It wouldn't be nice.
I'm getting nervous thinking about it, and I don't have to do this ever in my life. So then we cut to not SeaWorld. We got to Water World. Nope, not that either.
No.
We got to Damp World.
Waterland.
We cut to Stunt Town and
wet stunts.
There's Chad there. Chad Lee. He's the Shamu trainer and he's doing some wet stunts. I don't know if we actually see him do any wet stunts.
I think we see him get like launched off the nose of a orca.
Right.
An orca,
not Seamus, the orca. And then he's like grabbing some fish. and they're like, Chad Lee, you're coming with us.
You do great wet stunts.
Your stunts are so wet. We need you on this team, Chad. And then we cut to a fire where they all pull up. Like, where's Carter Grayson? And some guy's like, he's in there or he's up there. And he jumps from, like, the cherry picker bucket into a burning building. So, like, this is Red Ranger as hell.
Man, they are immediately just being like, hey, sorry about Leo.
Yeah.
Here's Carter instead.
Carter is... I don't care how boring Carter gets. He's already 100 times better than Leo.
Yeah, out of the gate, like, great Red Ranger. Yeah.
He's so good that the girl, whose name we haven't gotten yet, gets out of the car to watch. She didn't leave the car for the rest of it. In fact, they made it a point to show, like, she was in the car.
Yeah, I think for...
Definitely during Joel's.
I think during Joel's, she, like, rolls the window halfway. Yeah. So, like, just her eyes are peeking over, but it's not a tinted window?
Nope. So she, like, sees him, like, and we cut inside to him doing fire stuff. There's a girl, and he runs up, and he's like, is anyone here? And he runs up and he grabs her and picks her up. And have I ever told you that I was a junior firefighter?
No.
I was a junior firefighter.
Did not know that.
It was called Fire Explorers. I feel like I've talked about this on a podcast. I just thought about it. Or I talked about this 200 episodes and neither of us remember.
I say you've never told me. That may not be true.
anyway, so yeah, it was called Fire Explorers. I was a junior firefighter. It was pretty fun. These outfits are the heaviest, sweatiest monsters you could ever get into. One time, we were doing, there was like a, they got a new Jaws of Life, and so they had to like demo it and like test everything out. So I got to use the Jaws of Life, which was super fun. And one of the firefighters there, it was winter, you know, and he was like doing like work, like a lot of it. He took his helmet and the little like, he was bald, so he had like the little like ski cap sort of thing.
Yeah.
He took that off and you could just see steam coming off of his head because of how cold it was. Anyway.
If you know a firefighter, please just thank them.
Just tell him, hey, thanks. So then we cut we don't cut from there because he grabs a girl. We cut from me talking about being a junior firefighter. He has a girl and he's like running out the building and he looks to the side and sees a demon.
So it's this demon has fire camouflage because yep. It is a Psycho Red repainted.
Yeah, 100%, so literally.
Yeah, he's very fiery. And he's, I can't tell if it's just because the fire is in front of him that he's like obscured or if they superimpose his image over the fire. And so he looks a little like he's faded in. I don't know which way that actually went.
I don't either, because I feel like putting a giant rubber suit that close to fire is a bad idea.
It seems like it would be. It seems like you shoot him in that hallway with no fire.
And then you shoot the fire.
And then you shoot the fire, and then you just put him over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and you overlap the two, probably. I think that is probably what they ended up doing. So then we cut back and he gets he jumps out of the building. How's he leave? How's he get out?
The fire, we go to commercial and we come back and the fire demon throws a fireball at him and he tells the girl to hang on and they run and dive out of a window,
like a fourth story window,
onto one of the I'm gonna call it a trampoline for the lack of a better word that all the other firefighters have pulled tight.
Okay.
Thank goodness they guessed the right window.
Yeah. Well, I mean, presumably he was like, I'm going to jump out this one.
Right.
That's the best one to jump out of because you can all stand in the alley on this side. So she has a name tag. It says D. Mitchell. So her last name is Mitchell. We're getting closer. Remember how we only knew Kendrick's last name for like an episode and a half?
Yeah.
Kind of where we are right now. So he's like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, it's okay. I'm a paramedic. So she's like attending to somebody. And then we cut to demons flying away up into a portal in the sky. And then we cut into their lair.
The demon lair, which is another dimension.
I think it's another dimension. It might also be called a palace. I wrote the word palace down, and I can't remember if I thought the word palace or if they said it.
They talk about a palace because they say they've been gone so long that the humans build their nasty, ugly cities over their beautiful palace. And there's like this screen image of like their old palace, and then it just fades into this image of the city. So there's their motivation. That's why these monsters will be, for 40-plus episodes, relentlessly attacking one city.
Mariner Bay, which I enjoy. I like that they have a reason for.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I really want. Like, there's no reason they kept attacking Angel Grove, but Angel Grove also wasn't, it had the Power Rangers in it, so like it wasn't so weird. Like Terra Venture, like, leave it alone. What's the matter?
Just let it fly past.
Yeah.
I mean, every important thing in the universe was on Terra Venger for some reason, though.
Except for the Galactic Buddies. They were off on a different planet. Anyway, we're done with...
But they just happened to fly past.
We're done with Lost Galaxy.
Okay, we're... Yeah.
There's going to be a crossover at some point, and we will not speak about it again until then. I hope that's a lie. It's going to come up a lot. It was a kind of a bad season. So there's three monsters in here, three main demons. There's Diabolico, who is like a gold demon. He seems like he's the leader. He's got the scariest name. There's another guy whose name I didn't catch.
I did not either.
There is Benedict Cumberbatch.
I don't think it's him.
I think it was Benjamin Cumberbatch's son.
What are you saying?
I don't know. It was Bumblebee Cumberbund, and that's this demon's name until I get a real name for him. And they're both monsters. They're Power Ranger monsters.
Yeah,
right?
They're big rubber suit monsters.
And then there's Vipra, who is a sexy lady.
Yeah, she's like Scorpina.
She is the like, if you look at the Halloween costumes, like demon, and there's like a demon. And then lady demon. And it's like a sexy lady demon.
It's like, here's some wings and real tight tights.
Here's some tight tights, some wings.
The little horn headbands.
Little bat wingy horns, maybe. why is she a human?
She's not. She's a
Why is she human looking?
Maybe.
She's half human.
I doubt this very much because this is Power Rangers and I know that she isn't. But maybe she's a succubus.
I mean, maybe in Lightspeed Rescue Ranger Sentai.
We get a far shot of this lair, and I can't tell if it's Japanese footage or not. And it's definitely Vipra in the background.
Yeah, so Vipra, whatever Viper's counterpart is in the Sentai, which I don't know which Sentai it is. Somebody wants to tell me, that would be great. I could just Google it, but I won't, and I refuse to.
It'll be the next one coming out, because Gingaman is out.
That's true.
So,
No, actually, Time Ranger is coming out. So they already...
Oh.
They already announced Lightspeed Ranger...
Huh.
And I missed it.
I don't know which one it is.
Anyway, Viper's counterpart is straight up like the same. Like it's just like a woman with the outfit on. So anytime we see a close-up of Vipra, it's American footage. Anytime it's a far shot, like, and she's not like super visible. And also like they cast an Asian woman so that way they could like match the footage better.
Right.
So like, on the one hand, like that's good thinking, right? On the other hand... You are relying on racism to do your storytelling for you. That's kind of bad. She is like a woman also. So she might actually be a succubus in the Sentai.
That's not too far-fetched, I don't think.
There's also a demon Furby baby with a little nook.
Yep. Yes, it does got a little binky.
Yep. And its name is Impus, which is not the name of the Ariel monster. That was Ickis.
That's Ickis.
Was Ickis's dad Impus? This is Ickis's dad.
I don't remember Ickis's dad's name. I do remember his dad now.
Ickis had a... Hey, Ickis came from someone.
Yeah, Crumb had plural parents. Both of Crumb's... And I think...
They're both weird...
Oblina's parents we've seen too. Is that her name?
Oblina? Yeah.
Oblina, yeah. She's the...
Umbrella, but
the
not...
The umbrella handle?
Yeah. I think Ickis's dad's name was Impus, and this is Ickis's dad as a baby.
It kind of looks like
it's
him.
It's so weird that Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue is a prequel to Ariel Monsters, which came out several years beforehand. Wild. Anyway, so Diabolico and Vipra and Bumblebee Cumberbund are they're doing their thing. And they're like, yeah, the Empress is gone. Like, the demon queen is gone, but her baby is here.
Right.
What?
Her baby Impus.
Excuse me, what? How old is this baby?
Also, Vipra is, probably because it is an actual actor actress and we see her face, she also is credited in the opening credits.
Yeah.
But she does not say a single word in this episode.
Nope. I bet there's something we could read into there, too, which is not great. So then there's we cut back to the Lightspeed Rescue team. They're not Power Rangers yet, but I think you can see where this is going. They are on a helicopter and they are flying towards a submarine, and Carter is jazzed as hell to be going on a submarine, but not as jazzed as Kelsey is. Kelsey almost jumps out of the helicopter to get to the submarine.
She'll do it. She loves extreme sports.
It seems very extreme. At least as far as rock climbing goes. Also, lost my train of thought.
Something about Kelsey.
Something about Kelsey. Extreme sports. I don't know. I just like Kelsey.
I like this cast.
The whole cast is pretty good.
Joel cracks me up a number of times in this episode.
Oh, for sure. So then we cut to the underwater base, which is called the Lightspeed Aqua Base. So presumably there's a Lightspeed Terra Base and a Lightspeed Aero Base. Also, I doubt.
Right. There's probably just the Aqua Base.
Just the Aqua Base. And Sky Cowboy just touches some buttons.
Just walking by a control panel, touches some buttons.
Sets an alarm off, and D. Mitchell comes up.
And he not before he tries to push some other buttons to see if that turns it off.
Has that ever worked in the history of buttons?
No, I don't think so. This is also a very, like, loud, alarming alarm. And not a single person on the boat is worried about it. D. Mitchell is only bothered. She's like, hey, stop it.
She like hits one button, turns the alarm off. That alarm is, hey, some idiot pressed some buttons. Look at this idiot over here. So she turns the alarm off with one button. And we go to the debriefing room, which is like this little, you know, round table sort of deal. When Captain Mitchell's here, he's like, I'm Captain William Mitchell. So Captain Mustache has a name. Unfortunately, we did call him Captain Mustache first, and I'm afraid that stuck. So congratulations, Captain Mustache, on your new rank and name. Because you might be a different rank. I'm pretty sure you're a captain.
I think I called him Colonel first.
You called him Colonel, but I prefer Captain.
He's definitely a captain.
Yeah. This dude looks like he would be this exact same role on a TV movie about the Navy.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Like, I can't explain how much this guy looks like a made-for-TV movie actor. Just a, like, one.
Like, 100%. He entirely is the Play-Doh mold.
Yeah.
If you are making an actor for TV.
And so Joel is like, you can't do this. This is kidnapping. He is not having any of this. And Captain Mitch is like, all right, you're free to go then. He's like, all right, see ya. And he turns around and walks away. But then the big man is there and he stops him. And Captain Mustache is like, you do have to listen to me first, though. You can leave after if you want. And so he turns around and is like, okay. And then Captain goes on to tell them that 5,000 years ago, there were demons. All they wanted to do was destroy things. And so Wizard put them in a box and locked them up tight. And they said they hopefully will never come out, but we're worried that this could happen someday. So for 5,000 years, they have been preparing for this.
That's half a Rita, for those of you keeping score.
Well, I mean, you know, 5,000 years after Rita disappears,
demons inherit the earth.
Those demons are like, I don't think she's coming back. I think this is our time to shine.
Zordon's also not here.
Yeah. No one's guarding the door. And then one wizard was like, I am, and put him away. And so he puts them in a box. And then he says, unfortunately, some nomads, you know, undid it. So did they?
Are they dead?
Probably.
All right. That's
or,
fair.
I mean, we might see him again, but I doubt it. So this means that all the demons in the world, all over the world, but specifically, they were in Mariner Bay, because that's where their palace was.
That was the palace,
The Kingdom of Demons was in Mariner Bay.
Yes.
And they packed them all up, and they shipped them to Egypt, where they put them in a box.
Yep.
Does that seem a little convoluted?
Yes, very much. That seems exactly like something a freaking wizard would do.
And that is 100% what a wizard would do. That's wizard business, toe-to-tip.
Yep.
I guarantee that. Because you could just make a sarcophagus in Mariner Bay and just hide it real deep.
Throw it in the water.
Yeah.
Like,
no one's going on there. Find the Mariana Trench. Toss it in there. Only James Cameron will go down there. And maybe he would unleash demons. But then his documentary wouldn't be super boring. Sorry, James. Haven't made a good movie since Titanic. And I don't even like Titanic that much. I just agree that it's like a better made movie than anything you made after that. Then, so they came back to Mariner Bay, and Sky Cowboy, who I just named Sky, his name is Joel, we know that right away, but I keep calling him Sky Cowboy, because why wouldn't I?
Yeah, he's Sky Cowboy, the Green Ranger. So we don't know that yet, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, we had the clues, Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues.
Although, I'm not going to say that, that'll spoil something.
Okay. So he says, all right, I heard you out, I'm free to leave? And they're like, yep, he's like, all right, later. And he gets up and goes to walk away. And it's very funny. Sky Cowboy is a funny guy.
He just wants to do some Sky Cowboying. Like, he doesn't He's not a hero. He's a sky cowboy.
Yeah, like, he's a dink. Like, he's obviously, like, the jerk of the team jerk.
Yeah.
But, like, in a funny way.
He's like, I don't want a job. But yeah. In a charming way.
This
and not
is how
in
you
the
should
crappy
do a,
Leo
yeah,
way.
Yeah, he's not the... Here's the good thing. He's not the Red Ranger.
Yeah.
Which is what I like about him. So then Carter's like, hey, hold on. And he stops because Carter has a very forceful voice. And he's like, this makes sense because I saw a demon in the fire. Yeah.
There was a fire demon
in
that
building.
There was a
straight up demon there.
It shot fire at me, and so I am in to kill it.
So, I would like to protect this world from demons because one of them hurt people, and I will not hold to that. And so then everyone's like, all right, yeah, I'm in. And they all like stand up, and then they look over at Joel, and it cuts to like it's like the rack focus shot of like them. Him, but it's not, camera's not moving. And he's just like, all right, I'm in. I wish it would have been a little bit brassier.
Yeah, I wish that, like, they would have done something like, it has affected you this way. And then he would realize that it was the demons and then be like, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But instead, he's just like, yeah, no, that sounds right.
He's just convinced by Carter's speech. And yeah. I guess that's impressive on its own right. So then they open up. Captain Mustache opens up the like a briefcase, and there are five morphers in there. He's like, these are your power morphers. Maybe he says light speed morphers. I don't remember. And they each get one, and they put them on their wrists. And then Dana looks over and goes, wait, there's five? And he goes, yeah, you're the fifth Power Ranger. And he opens up the fifth file, and it's her in there. And her, it says she's number five. Keep that in mind for like a minute from now. Kind of bugs me, but that's fine. And I really, really like this moment where he's like, I've been training you your whole life. Like, obviously, you are the best candidate for the Fifth Ranger.
I do like it, but it also feels a little bit like I had you for this.
You know what?
Just yes. The way he says, I've been training you for this your whole life.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's a good moment because she's ecstatic about it. Like, yeah. She wants to do it.
I think on her end, it's good. On, yeah. He might, this literally... He might have had her for this.
Yeah. But what I was going to say a little bit earlier is that she has no pink on.
No.
So this is kind of like a big... Hey,
oh, dip.
It you.
Yeah. What I really like about this is that...
they did spoil it in the opening
She's
credits,
in the credits
though.
As the Pink Ranger. Like, her name's in pink. And like her name is Dana. We might as well say it now that she's a Power Ranger. I think he might say her name right now, but I can't tell you for sure. But what I really like about this moment is that he's like, you're the Fifth Ranger. And the way it's presented is like, it's not like I was keeping this from you and like she didn't know. So it's not like he kept it from her for like a bad reason. He kept it for it because like she didn't want it. Like she didn't seek it out. She was just there for the mission.
He does say that too. He says it's yours if you want it.
Yeah.
So it's a little less gross.
Yeah. But I do really like that. It's just like she was on board 100%. And there was no reason for her to be other than the mission. Like, there was no, like, promise of a reward. And I really like that because, like, that's why she deserves to be a Power Ranger, you know?
None of them get that promise. Like, he does not say anything to Joel to be like, if you do this, you'll get this.
It's yeah, just, nobody gets anything.
If you do this, the demons are defeated.
Yeah.
That's it. And I love that Carter was the first to stand up and be like, heck yeah, I'm in.
I'm a Red Ranger. Suck it, Leo. They start walking out, and she's like, grab your jackets, it's going to be chilly. Everybody make sure you get your jackets. So they get their little jackets on. They are red and black. It's a little confusing.
They
maybe.
Have, like, a patch on them that's the symbol with their number in it that is their color, yeah. But the rest of the jacket is red and black.
Yeah, it's standard definition, so it's not great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's I don't love the jackets.
I don't really like the jackets.
I understand they're all going to be wearing the same thing every episode with, you know, some exceptions here and there, right, to, like, make things pop or whatever. I'm cool with that. I don't love it. I like outfits. I can't do a what was X wearing if you wear the same thing every time.
Right.
But I at least they don't have a jacket that's someone else's color on them at all the time. So I don't love the jacket. Everything else I can deal with. So then they hop in their cool Hummer and they drive through the ocean. Don't worry, there's a tunnel. I was worried for a second.
Because the top is down.
There's no roof. There's no doors. the windows are down or whatever. So they drive through a tunnel. They come up near Stunt Town. I think Wet Stuntville.
Does that tunnel lead right to Not SeaWorld?
I think so, because like it looked like it was near it. I thought I saw like a dolphin on a wall or something. And so then we cut to somewhere in the city, somewhere in Mariner Bay, and the fire demon, who will not get a name, teleports in with the putties this year. And I'm calling them baddies.
They look baddish. I mean, it's better than demies.
Yeah, that doesn't...
Because they are, like, devilish. They have this design on their abdomen, which is like a devil's tail that curls up and has the point on the end.
Yeah.
They have little horns. They have little bat wings.
I think the horns are also bat wings.
Well, then they're definitely baddies.
They're super baddies.
They're fighting baddies.
Yeah. Which just makes me think of the baddie rap from Fern Gully. Is it Fern Gully?
I don't think I've ever heard you say anything with less confidence.
That's impressive. Hey, everybody, just be cool. But, like, was Batty in Fern Gully?
I think so. There's a bat in Fern Gully.
There's also a bat in Anastasia, but I don't think that was voiced by Robin Williams.
No, that's Fern Gully.
So Batty is Fern Gully. Someone please confirm. Anyway.
Oops.
So they do a little fight. Here's what I like about this fight. Nobody's going to fight it. Carter doesn't try to fight anybody at first. We'll come back to him in a second. Kelsey gets knocked down. Joel gets knocked down. Chad gets knocked down. Dana gets knocked down. But every time they do, they get hurt protecting people, which is the more important part.
Yeah.
Like, Kelsey gets, like, knocked into some stairs and straight up turns around to the people and is like, get out of here, and then, like, jumps the baddie to get to get it away, which is awesome. Like, heck yes, that's Power Rangers. Then we got to Carter in the Hummer just gunning it. just barrel-assing at this fire demon. He's gonna kill this motherfucker.
He can't fight. But boy, can he drive a Hummer.
Well, yes, he does. He does miss.
But he did go fast.
He did went fast. So
he's got that over John Cena. Yeah.
Then he gets out and just gets beat up. Because, again, he's not super a fighter. He's a fireman, you know? They don't get Krav Maga training, as far as I know. at least not on junior firefighters, you don't. So maybe you had to get to regular-sized firefighters to get a... to get some cool combat experience, but...
Just on the off chance that you find a demon in there.
Yeah, you never know. What if the fire is caused by a demon? You gotta be ready. You put out fires. Doesn't matter where they came from. Then, they get beat up, and Carter, like, calls back. He's like, they're too strong. Like, what do we do? He's like, you have to use your power morphers. He's like, okay. And so then they all stand up, and they get in a line, and they morph, and their morph call is... Lightspeed Rescue! That sucks. Hey, Lightspeed Rescue.
Maybe they'll get a different one.
I really hope they do.
Maybe they'll get one that we can yell.
Yeah.
When we start the episode. Because if they don't, are we just going to keep doing It's Morphin Time?
I think until they get a good one. We're just going to keep saying It's Morphin Time, because I'm not going to just say Lightspeed Rescue like an idiot.
It's Lightspeed Time.
Lightspeed to the Rescue. Like, Go Galactic. The next one's Time Force. Like, give me something.
Yeah, there's...
It's a call to action, not just the title of your show. Mm-hmm. My dudes, it's bad.
They don't even say it a cool way. They're just like, Lightspeed Rescue.
I only think Carter said it. They didn't even all say it.
Oh, there's got to be a better one.
There's got to be.
This is only episode one. They're feeling it out.
Yeah. I'll give them that. It's only episode one. So then they get their morph sequence, which is when they throw the, like, shield face mask part out of their morpher, which is pretty cool. Like, it flips open. It looks pretty neat. It's got, like, a keypad on it.
I do like the morphers. I miss the old chunky... belt buckle morphers, but I do appreciate these are pretty good wrist morphers
for sure. So like, the thing comes out and then it passes over them, and then they, like, it is their face mask, but it also is a big cream saver and turns them into a various colored... Do they still make cream savers?
I don't think so.
Only 90s kids remember cream savers.
I freaking loved cream savers. I ate them so much.
Here's the thing about cream savers, is it was like a fruit candy, a fruit hard candy.
Well, see, I always get the caramel chocolate.
Oh, I did not like that one. I was a strawberry or an orange cream boy. The caramel and the chocolate ones, I didn't think melded well with the cream flavor. And it is cream flavor because it's a hard candy.
Yeah.
So don't get it twisted. It's a cream flavor.
Yeah, it's just like a smooth lifesaver.
Yeah.
I think what we're trying to say here is the city is fallen. Cream savers are calling.
It's time for a Lightspeed Rescue.
Hashtag non-spawn.
Oh, that's another... More people that won't... Oh, God.
Let me fix that.
So then they do a little fight. Here's the thing I want to mention about the fight. Dana kicks ass.
Yeah, she is very good at this.
Dana... Okay, if we're watching, like, pro wrestling...
Yeah.
If this is, like, a pro wrestling analogy... This is like going to your local indie, not our local indie, because our local indie is very good. It's like going to your local rinky-dink indie and seeing like some kids who just learned how to wrestle like do some bad arm drags. And then you look over at Dana and Ricochet is there.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because they're going through, everybody's getting their like we're beating up baddies moment, and they're all fine. Like, I didn't notice anything. And then it gets to Dana. And I, like, sat up, and I was like, holy crap, she is whooping these baddies.
It is so good. So they have, like, these guns. My little brother had one, and their blasters are very cool because they are two parts. There's, like, a handle with a circle on it, and you put it in one way. It's a blaster. You can, like, twist it and turn it out and spin it around, twist it back into place, and, like, bend it up and lock it in place to make it a sword.
Yeah.
It's a very, like, very detailed description of it, but it's pretty cool, right? So they're all doing blasters. Joel does kick his out of his holster, which is pretty cool.
I was just going to say, there is one other really cool thing, and that's that Joel gets to do a cowboy stunt.
He does get to do a cowboy stunt. And he does that. Then Dana has hers in sword mode and is literally doing some of the dopest choreography I've ever seen on Power Rangers.
Yeah, it is crisp.
Like, non-Johnny Young Bosch division, this is maybe my second favorite fighting I've ever seen on the show. Because... she's doing, like, blocks where she's, like, blocking with one of her feet or, like, behind her back and spinning around. It's so good.
Yeah.
Absolutely go find this fight. It is just to watch Dana, like, it's so good.
If you don't watch along with us, at least watch this first fight.
Then the fire demon's like, I'll kill you or I'll destroy you or whatever. And so they just take out their guns and shoot him to death. They just blast him until he blows up. And they turn around and do that cool action hero walking away from fire thing. And then they power down in front of the whole town.
Yeah, everybody in the city sees them morph and sees them. If they missed that, they get to see them unmorph.
Yeah, and they just run up and they start celebrating with everybody. Like,
yep.
So keep your identity secret, not a rule. Not a rule
this
time.
Well, these powers are made by the government. These are not like magical Power Ranger Zordon powers. These are man-made Power Rangers. As far as
true.
I can tell.
Like, maybe we'll get some, because like they just say like we've been preparing for thousands of years for this, but like have they been stockpiling light speed energy? Like, I want
every once in a while they just blast some light at these morphers.
I can't wait until, and I don't think we might never get it, but I want the light speed Power Rangers the power origin story. Like, I want the history of like what happened, like Lightspeed Rescue, where did it come from?
Where did these morphers come from?
What ancient are order they? Made this? So then
the wizard did it.
Oh, obviously it's a wizard. wizards. So then we cut to the Aquabase, and Lightspeed Aquabase. We're just gonna call it the lab. How about that?
Yeah.
We cut to the labo, and they.
Hashtag non-spawn.
Hashtag non-spawn. But Nintendo, I want those Labos, but they're $80 a piece. I can't afford that. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh.
I was talking to my new boss, Kevin. He said he watched a video about the Labo, and the robot one takes like 5 hours to construct.
I don't have that.
I could afford it. I have the time. I think I could make the time. I just don't want to.
I want to play with it.
Because I bet that robot game is not like a great video game. It's probably fun to like punch a couple times.
Look, it's for kids.
Yeah.
You know? And so you put a kid in a robot video game, they're going to play it for 90 hours, right?
It's like Skylanders, where like the gimmick is super cool, but the game in there, well,
yeah, it's booty. but then like the little piano one's neat, like all the other stuff is neat, and I want to try it out, but like you have to make it first, and like I need someone in my life that can do that for me.
And it's so expensive, and it's just cardboard.
It's $80 to like take up a lot of space in your house. So anyway, I will still buy them if I just got free money exclusively for Labo. Anyway, so we go back to the Labo, that's what I'm trying to say. And Joel's shooting his mouth off. He's like, yeah, they come back again, and I'll whoop them again, because I'm Joel. I'm Sky Cowboy.
I keep wanting to say Space Cowboy, but that was Randy Savage in TNA.
Was that his nickname?
He was the Space Cowboy.
We talked about
Randy
this on the
Savage.
Show, and I every time I remember that, I love it so much, because where do you go after the Macho Man? Space.
That's it. That's the only place.
That's the final frontier.
There's nothing higher than the Macho Man. Well, he was the Macho King.
He was the Macho King.
And then he was the Space Cowboy.
He accomplished everything a man could do on Earth. So he went to space. Yeehaw. Also, it was a movie with a bunch of old guys.
And he made a rap album.
That rap album is so bad, but there is a song about how much he misses Mr. Perfect. So, like, carte blanche.
Yeah.
It's very bad, though. It's a very bad album. Even that song's not well done.
Well, no, it's Macho Man Randy Savage.
But it's Macho Man rapping about Mr. Perfect. It's called The Perfect Friend. It's super good, even though it's super bad. Anyway, Joel's walking in backwards and bumps into Kelsey because he's a dink. And he's turned around, and Captain Mustache is there. And he's like, yeah, we could celebrate later. Like, we're not done yet. And Kelsey's like, but we just beat Diabolico. He's like, no, dummy. That was just one of his monsters. I'm not even going to name it. Like,
that guy was nothing.
He was literally nothing. You shot him with your blasters, and it took him out. That's it. He's nothing.
We haven't even mentioned Zords yet.
No. That might be next time.
Maybe.
In a couple episodes.
I mean, do they get individual weapons, or is it just the blade / blasters?
That I do not know. But then he's like, yeah, that was just a fire monster. And our work isn't done. We have a lot of work to do. Dana, like, salutes. And everyone pulls their hand. Everybody salutes. So I guess they're in the military now. Technically, they'd be military contractors, I guess. I don't want to think about that aspect of it too much. But then the episode ends.
Yeah.
So, Josh.
Yep.
First things first. I started.
You did.
What's the best?
Dana's fight.
Dana's fight, 100%. Super good. So much the best. Literally, not kidding. If you do not watch anything else from this show, just go find that fight. It's dope. What's the worst?
I guess the like weird opening stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot to dislike in this episode.
No, Chad gets a line, maybe two. Kelsey gets 4 or 5 lines.
Yeah.
Sky Cowboy gets like, plenty, but like,
I like all of these people, and I hope we don't get the "these ones don't matter as much" stigma that we did.
I mean,
before.
I got some bad news for you.
Which one doesn't matter?
I feel like Chad doesn't matter. Maybe you will. Maybe they didn't have time for Chad in this episode, but like,
maybe.
it just felt like they were like, you.
We need 5.
Yeah. We do need a Blue Ranger. Chad's the Blue Ranger. Benny said that Chad is his favorite. So, like, maybe he does some cool stuff. But also, like, one of my favorite characters on My Hero Academia basically gets nothing to do. I just like her a lot.
Right,
so, like,
right.
You attach to weird things. I'm hoping Chad gets a lot of stuff because he's got the wettest stunts.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously he's good. But, yeah, I think the opening bit with the three nomads, not the best.
Not great.
Probably the worst part of this episode.
And it also, like, geographically makes no sense.
Yeah, it's so just confusing.
Don't put it. It didn't need to be over there.
No.
And so just take that out.
Like, I get they're demons, but, like, there's no demons in Egypt. Like Egypt.
Well, no, the wizard brought them there.
Well, yeah, but, like, why tie it to Egypt? Like, there's not a lot of demon iconography in Egypt.
I think
Egypt.
It's literally so they could put it in a tomb.
Yeah, you can make a tomb anywhere.
That's very true.
Who's the MVP?
Carter.
I want to give it to Sky Cowboy. But Carter did do very good.
He exploded out of this gate. It's just like, hey, guys, we messed up, but we're doing better.
Carter is like, just like the best possible palate cleanser after Leo.
Absolutely.
I don't want to dunk on Leo too much because he did do some okay stuff.
Yeah, we spent a whole season dunking on Leo.
He's been dunked on enough. He's a Space Jam basketball hoop. He's been dunked on a lot. But, like, just the Red Ranger being a cool, good dude who does Red Ranger things right away is very nice.
Like, he is a fireman. Like,
yeah.
He is a firefighter in his regular pre-Power Ranger life. Like, that dude is a Red Ranger for real.
Yeah. I wrote down, I didn't write firefighter because I couldn't think of the word right away. I wrote down, he's a fire hero.
He's a fire ranger.
He's a fire ranger. So, yeah, Carter gets the MVP from me, too.
Let me ask you something. We don't need to do this every time, obviously. Okay. But this is our first introduction to a new batch of Power Rangers.
Yep.
First impressions, who do you like?
Who do I like?
Who's like... Don't rank them, but who's your top? Like, which one do you got your eye on the most for the season?
Well, Dana. I think Dana a lot. I mean, I tend to like Pink Rangers, but, like, just because they tend to be very good, and I'm into that. But Dana, like, feels like there's a lot to her. There's, like, a lot of depth there. Sky Cowboy is very funny. I'm excited to see Carter do good. I've heard he's boring, but, like, if he's boring but good, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I want to see more of Chad and Kelsey. I like Kelsey, too, but I can't say on the podcast what she reminds me of, but I told you beforehand.
You did.
And that just gives me a weird attachment to her. If anyone asks me on my personal Twitter, I will tell you. But it just is, like, a weird, like, oh, I remember that. It's like, yeah, she does remind me of that thing. I like how, like, amped she is. Like, she's, like, very excited.
Yeah.
They didn't, like, paint her as, like, she's extreme. But they're, like, she's doing rock climbing. Like, she's, like, an adrenaline junkie, kind of. But she's just, like, super here for it.
Yeah, she's got, like, literally no fear.
Yeah.
Like a Yellow Ranger should. She's fearless.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what about you?
Dana, I think, is my favorite, based on this episode alone.
Yeah.
Even... like pre-Pink Ranger, just the character of Dana, I think I liked the most. And I very much liked Kelsey and Space Cowboy.
Yeah.
Who is actually a Sky Cowboy. but yeah, I think I'm gonna be watching Dana for a while just to see, because she's got
that
a lot
fight
of potential.
Was so good.
But everyone on this cast is very good.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that doctor that they had in the credits that they didn't show.
Yeah.
So what she's up with. And I even like Captain Mustache.
Yeah.
Like, he very easily could be, like, a dick boss slash, like, an overprotective father. But instead, he was the opposite. Like, he was like, hey, I've been training you your whole life for this. Like,
yeah,
do you want to do a Power Ranger
move?
We
didn't get 10 episodes of the man being like, no, you can't, because you are my fragile little girl.
Yes. Like, immediately he's like...
Immediately he's like, no, you can't. You are... I want you to be a Power Ranger.
You're the best choice for this. That's so good. I'm pretty excited about Lightspeed Rescue.
Yeah,
so
me too. This episode is a good hype man.
I mean, I don't think the acting is going to be super great, because there's a lot of acting moments that was just, they're, you know, flat, but they're also brand new to their characters, so, like, they're still feeling everything out. But, like,
so it is Power Rangers still.
Yeah, so. I keep comparing everything to next season, where everyone was, like, pretty great, but I'm going to try not to do that. Everyone was fine. Like, everyone was, like, bare minimum fine.
Yeah.
So, pretty excited. Where do we rank this episode?
Number one.
Absolutely number one with a bullet. I should write it down. Oh, I gotta start a new thing. I'll write it down later, because there's only one episode.
Okay, don't forget.
As soon as we finish recording, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So, thank you very much for listening, everybody. Welcome to the new season. Thanks for sticking around. I know it's real easy to jump off after a season concludes. So, if you're still here, thanks. We appreciate it. Just, hey, what did you think? What do you think about Lightspeed Rescue? I don't think we've taken anyone's temperature on it. Just tell us on Twitter. How do you like your Lightspeed?
Hashtag like it nice, like it not nice.
Like it fine?
Like it fine?
Let us know. Anyway, we will be back on Friday for Operation Lightspeed? Lightspeed Operation?
No, this one was...
This is Operation Lightspeed.
The next one is Lightspeed Teamwork.
That's a bad title.
As I was scrolling through them, these are... I thought the trend was going to be Lightspeed something was every episode.
Sure.
So I started replacing in the new episode, like episode 3+, I started replacing words just with Lightspeed.
Okay.
It's pretty fun.
All right.
I recommend it. Like episode 3 would be Trial by Lightspeed.
Well, stay tuned for this for the rest of the season. Hope you like this joke. Anyway, we will see you on Friday for Lightspeed Teamwork. But until then,
may the power protect you. Power Rangers.
keep doing that like half hiccup, half burp.
I felt that one.
That was a deep soul yawn.